Morning everyone, welcome to our service this morning. I hope you've been enjoying the series on the Sermon on the Mount. I certainly have, but it's been challenging and it's brought to light lots of things that make me very, very grateful that we have the grace of Jesus available to us. I thought it'd be useful at the start of our service just to spend a bit of time bringing to God anything that we would like forgiveness for, anything that's gone wrong in our week, even today. Or further back in time than that. I thought to help us do that, I'm going to read part of Psalm 51. And after that, I'm going to leave a time of quiet for us to just reflect and bring before God in our own hearts anything that we need to talk to him about. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love, according to your great compassion. Blot out my transgressions. Wash away all my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions and my sin is always before me. Against you, you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight. So you are right in your verdict and justified when you judge. Surely I was sinful at birth, sinful from the time my mother conceived me. Yet you desired faithfulness even in the womb. You taught me wisdom in that secret place. Cleanse me with hyssop and I shall be clean. Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones you have crushed rejoice. Hide your face from my sins and blot out all my iniquity. Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. Now let's just take a moment to remember those things that we need to ask God's forgiveness for and be assured that he hears us. Loving Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the gift of Jesus and the gift of forgiveness. Thank you that there is no sin too great and no sin too small for your love and for your forgiveness. Amen. So now we're going to sing our first song and then Jesse is going to pray for us.
Blood of God. us pray. We bring our hearts to you, O Lord, our God, the sacrifice of self, not just to worship you with our lips, whereby our hearts are far from you. Lord, we pray by your Holy Spirit that lives in us to direct our very lives, the essence of our being, to worship you in our hearts as a place where you dwell. Sovereign Lord and Father, we love you so much because you first love us. In bended knees, Lord, we come to you and to give you praises and to worship your holy name. We lift up our hearts to you, Holy One. Your awesome presence, merciful, compassionate, God of all. There is none like you, holy and true, true to your word and your promises. Father, we thank you as we worship you, as we pray in the name of our Lord Jesus. Lord, we bring before you our church families, our families and friends. We bring before you those who are sick and those who are struggling to cope in this present day because of the situation that the world is facing today. Father, we have many people that to bring before you in praise. We pray for Marriott, Emily's sister, Lord. We commit her into your hand. We pray for Hannah and her family, Lord. We bring before you in our prayers, we bring Maureen and her family as well. Father, we remember Nicola in our prayer today. We pray for your encouragement, for your word and the Spirit of God to encourage her, to lift her up, to know that there is only one God, our Lord Jesus, the one who gave his life for us. We also pray for Joanna's mom, Mama Ruth, who's been to hospital too, and we pray for that too as well. We bring the entire family into your hands, Lord, as we pray in assurance, knowing that you alone are God. We pray also for Mariam, Mariam's mom who is in hospital, Lord. We commit them all and the whole family into your hands. We thank you, Lord, as you hear our prayer. Lord, we also pray for the leadership of our church, bringing every member into your hands. Father, we pray for your knowledge and wisdom and understanding. We pray for the spirit of counsel to give them the insight to know what to do and to do the right things in order to save you. Bless us, O Lord, as we do thy will of taking this gospel, this precious gospel that you've given us, to take it to the ends of the earth, bringing lost souls into the kingdom of your beloved Son, our Lord Jesus. Father, we love you because you first love us. We thank you and we glorify your name now and forevermore. In the name of our Lord Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Jesse, for those prayers. And now we're going to have a further time of sung worship. it's been lovely this week to be able to use our new building to record some new songs. I hope you've enjoyed them. We certainly enjoyed playing and singing in the recording of them. So now I'm going to invite Reza and Jan to bring our readings, and then Duncan is going to come and speak to us on our next passage in Matthew. I'm just going to pray for them now. Lord Jesus, thank you so much for your amazing words that have come to us down centuries, and I pray that you would help us to apply those things deep into our hearts and lives. Thank you for Jan and for Reza and for everyone who's contributed this morning. I pray that you would give us open ears and an open heart to receive your words. Amen.
Hello everyone. ده فرمان. خدا با موسی سخن گفت و این احکام را صادر کرد. من خداوند خدای تو هستم، همان خدایی که تو را از اسارت و بندگی مصر آزاد کرد. تو را به خدایان دیگر غیر از من نباشد. هیچ گونه بتی به شکل حیوان یا پرنده یا ماهی برای خود درست نکن. در برابر آنها زانو نزن و آنها را پرستش نکن. زیرا من که خداوند خدای تو می باشم، خدای غیوری هستم و کسانی را که با من دشمنی کنند مجازات می کنم. این مجازات شامل حال فرزندان آنها تا نسل سوم و چهارم نیز می گردد. اما برای کسانی که مرا دوست داشته باشند و دستورات مرا پیروی کنند، هزار پشت زحمت می کنم. از نام من که خداوند خدای تو هستم سوء استفاده نکن. اگر نام مرا با بی احترامی به زبان بیاوری یا با قسم دروغ بخوری، تو را مجازات میکنم. روز سبت را به یاد داشته باش و آن را مقدس بدار. در هفته 6 روز کار کن، ولی روز هفتم که دستت سبت خدا است هیچ کاری نکن. به خودت، نه پسرت، نه دخترت، نه غلامت، نه کنیزت، نه مهمانانت و نه چهارپایانت. چون خدا در 6 روز آسمان و زمین و دریا هرچه را که در آنهاست آفرید و روز هفتم دست از کار کشید، پس او روز سبت را مبارک خواند و آن را روز استراحت تعیین کرد. پدر و مادرت را احترام کن تا در سرزمینی که خداوند خدای تو به تو خواهد بخشید عمر طولانی داشته باشی. دروغ نگو، زنا نکن، دزدی نکن، قتل نکن، چشم طمع به مال و ناموس دیگران نداشته باش. به فکر تصاحب غلام و کنیز، گاو و الاغ، اموال همسایانت نباش. Thank you.
Today's reading comes from Matthew 5, verses 31 to 37. It has been said, anyone who divorces his wife must give her a certificate of divorce. But I tell you that anyone who divorces his wife, except for sexual immorality, makes her the victim of adultery, and anyone who marries a divorced woman commits adultery. Again, you have heard that it was said to the people long ago, do not break your oath, but fulfill to the Lord the vows you have made. But I tell you, do not swear an oath at all, either by heaven, for it is God's throne, or by earth, for it is his footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. And do not swear by your head, for you cannot make even one hair white or black. All you need to say is simply yes or no. Anything beyond this comes from the evil one.
Hi, let's take a moment and pray together. Oh Lord, may these words of my lips and these meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer, Please speak, Lord, for your servants are listening. Amen. Amen. So today we're continuing our series on Jesus' teaching from Matthew chapters 5 to 7, the Sermon on the Mount. And we've got to where Jesus is teaching about the law of Moses. Now, a couple of weeks ago, I looked at the commandment, do not commit murder. And we saw that this wasn't a pass or fail standard that we had to live up to. Instead, Jesus showed us that the root of murder is actually anger. So if we want to live in God's kingdom, then we have to deal with our anger so that we can become people of love. Now, last week, Anne talked about adultery. And again, this isn't a pass or fail standard that we have to meet. Jesus showed that the root of adultery was lust. So if we want to live in God's kingdom, then we have to be people who deal with lust in our lives so that we can become people of love. Today we come to look at divorce and commitment. Immediately here, of course, we have a huge problem, because at first sight, Jesus appears to completely rule out divorce. Gateshead is full of people who are divorced. More to the point, there are lots of us in the church who have passed through the fires of divorce. What are we to do with this? Have we blown it? Can we still even follow Jesus? These are really important questions. So we're first going to look at the specific case of marriage and divorce, and then we're going to look at the general case of commitments and keeping our commitments. Now, marriage used to be regarded as a very serious and a very solemn thing. But I guess today people are much less committed to marriage than they have been in the past. There was a very famous book by Douglas Copeland, which was published 30 years ago in 1991, and it was called Generation X. And it opened with this cartoon. Don't worry, Mother. If the marriage doesn't work out, we can always get divorced. This is marriage as something that you buy into when it suits you, and you get rid of it when it doesn't. Now, if you've passed through the fires of divorce, you don't need Jesus to tell you that divorce is really bad news and to be avoided if at all possible. When we get married, two people commit to love each other faithfully, exclusively, and unconditionally until they're separated by death. And that foundation of unconditional commitment and love creates the possibility for us to open up our lives to each other in vulnerability and honesty, secure in the knowledge that we'll be there for each other no matter what. And of course, that commitment also lays a foundation of love to raise children in a secure family. And if that commitment is broken, and if that relationship gets torn apart, then the damage both to our souls and, if we have them, to our children is very, very deep and serious and hard to heal. So then, is it that simple? Should we just stay together no matter what? I don't believe so. In the case where one party to the marriage is unfaithful, then that commitment is already broken. In the case of ongoing abuse, it's hard to see how staying together is a good idea. When one partner walks out on the other, there's not a lot the other partner can do about that. But then again, so often people's reason for divorce is more, it's just not as fun as it was, or I think maybe I could do better with someone else, or we're struggling to bring up the children. We can't neatly draw a line and say this divorce is okay and this one isn't. But as we've been seeing, we don't need to draw lines because that isn't how Jesus approaches the law. Jesus is not presenting divorce as a pass-fail standard to be met. Instead, he's presenting it as a vision of life in God's kingdom, a vision of life in God's kingdom. Or in other words, he's painting a picture of a kingdom heart. Just as murder flows from anger and adultery flows from lust, so marriage flows out of commitment. Kingdom people are people who honour their commitments. But we're all broken, aren't we? We've all sinned, we've all been angry, we've all been lustful, we've all broken commitments. And coming into God's kingdom is not based on whether we've managed to keep all of the standards perfectly or not, but it's based upon Jesus having died on the cross for our sins and being raised to life. So if we're divorced, Jesus' kingdom and Jesus' arms are wide open to us. If we're remarried, Jesus' kingdom and his arms are wide open to us. And he has all the forgiveness and grace and wisdom we need to help us to move forward from where we are in freedom and in peace and in love. The question is not, have we murdered? The point is that Jesus wants to deal with our anger. The question is not, have we committed adultery? The point is that Jesus wants us to deal with our lust. The question is not, are we divorced? The point is that Jesus wants us to be people of our word, people of integrity, people of commitment. Hundreds of years ago, Thomas More bravely confronted King Henry VIII with his sin, and that cost Thomas More his life. And there's a play about him, and in that play, his daughter comes to him and begs him to appease the king in order to save his life. And Thomas's response is incredibly powerful. He says this: when you give someone your word, it's like taking your life and holding it in your hands. You are cupping your life in your hands when you give them your word. And should you let that word fall through, you will look down and not be able to find yourself. I heard that years ago, and I've never forgotten it. Being people of our word is a question of integrity and a question of righteousness, the very quality of God himself. It's the foundation of trust, it's the foundation of relationship, it's the foundation of community, it's the foundation of love. And it's not just important in the big things, because whether we choose to be truthful or not truthful shapes who we become. Our character, who we are, is shaped by whether or not we're people of our word. When we don't keep our word, we're found to be liars. And truth and lies are the difference between reality and unreality, the difference between God and the devil. I remember finding out many years ago that a Christian who had worked for me had lied to me. He was lying to cover up something that he'd promised to do and hadn't done. I only found out indirectly. He never confessed it to me. And later he went on to become a leader in a church, and I like him, but it's hard for me to trust him. He's not someone who I would let too close, because I don't know whether or not I can trust him. It's impossible to build true Christian community with someone you don't trust. A little while ago, Gavin Williamson, when he was the Defence Secretary of this country, was accused of having leaked official secrets to the press, and he was sacked by Theresa May, the Prime Minister. In response, he swore on the lives of his children that he had not leaked that information. Jesus tells us that swearing oaths like that is not the way of the kingdom. Instead, we should simply be people who consistently let our yes be our yes and our no be our no. And Jesus goes on to say something really, really strong. He says, anything beyond that is from the evil one. That's a pretty serious teaching, isn't it? That should really make us think. But it's serious because becoming people of our word is vital to becoming citizens of God's kingdom, because that is what God himself is like. God does what he says he will do. So in the final analysis, it's not about whether we're divorced or not. It's about being people of integrity. So let's practice in the little things. Let's let our yes be our yes, let our no be our no, and let our Facebook maybe be our no as well. Amen. Let's pray. Jesus, this is such an important teaching. You want us to be people who reflect you. And Father, we know our sin and our weakness and our fear, how far we often fall from that. Have mercy on us, Lord. Thank you for your blood that cleanses us. Thank you for your spirit that transforms us. Father, where we have sinned and need to sort things out, please show us how to do that with other people. And help us trust in your blood to cleanse us and forgive us. And as we look forward, please help us to grow in integrity, and honesty, and righteousness, and be people of our word. You're amazing, Lord, and we love you. Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Duncan. We now come to the end of our service. We're going to close with one more song, followed by a blessing. If you've been watching the service at normal time and you'd like to join us on the Skype Tea and Coffee, then please find the link in the notices at the end of the service. The rest of the notices will come up on those slides, and do pause them if you need more time. Amen.
May God shield us, may God fear us, may God keep us, may God watch us. God bring us this night, this day, to the nearness of His love, and the peace of the Father of joy, and the peace of the Christ of hope, the peace of the Spirit of grace, and the peace of all peace be ours this night. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.